and true.
Forgive us when we've sought voices to tell us.
Did you hear the good news? You don't have to run and hide. You can drop all your defenses. His arms are open wide.
This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Good afternoon, radio listeners. Welcome from the Encouragers, Reverend Barbara Coleman and Minister David Michael. We are on the air every Saturday at 3 p.m., bringing words of encouragement from the Holy Bible for everyday life. Please continue to listen in and be blessed. Our Father, who art in heaven, all-powerful, omnipotent, everywhere at the same time, omnipresent, all-knowledgeable, omniscient. Please forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. I thank you for this opportunity to preach your word from the Holy Bible. And may what I say be helpful to someone and pleasing to you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. My topic for today is Saving Faith, Part 1. My text comes from James 2:14, which states, What doeth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? Faith is central to Christianity. The New Testament repeatedly calls people to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. There is a definite body of content to be believed, which is part of our religious activity. What is saving faith? The idea of justification by faith alone suggests to many people a thinly veiled antinomianism that claims people can live any way they like, so long as they believe the right thing. Yet James wrote in his epistle, found in James 2:14 and 17, What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? Even so, faith, if it have not works, is dead, being alone. Luther said that the sort of faith that justifies is a living faith, one that inevitably, necessarily, and immediately yields the fruit of righteousness. Justification by faith alone, but not by faith that is alone. A faith without any yield of righteousness is not true faith. Scripture is everywhere clear. The one thing a person must do to be saved is exercise true saving faith in Christ. Faith is the instrument that God uses to bring individuals into a saving relationship with Himself. This is not to say that faith is the basis of our salvation. Rather, it is the channel by which God grants salvation. Noted theologian B.B. Warfield said, "The saving power of faith resides thus not in itself, but in the Almighty Savior on whom it rests. It is not, strictly speaking, even faith in Christ that saves, but that Christ saves through faith." John 2:18-19 verses state, "Yea, a man may say, Thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble." How do you know if you are really a Christian? How do you know if your faith is true? The answer is not getting busier for Jesus. The answer is found in the sufficient grace of God, received by faith in Jesus. The book of James can feel like a stern rebuke, because it is. James was a pastor who needed to bring a hard truth to to confuse congregations. People who misunderstood the gospel and failed to grasp what the Holy Spirit effects through it, love and generosity. Among these congregants were proud, wicked people who favored the rich over the poor. James 2, 1 through 7 states, "My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons? For if there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, Sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, Stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool. Are ye not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts? Hearken, my beloved brethren, have not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom, which he had promised to them that love him? But ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seat? Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by the which ye are called, who spoke good words of blessing in one moment and destructive curse words of condemnation the next?" James 3, 9 through 10 states, "Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing? My brethren, these things ought not so to be." There were people in this congregation whose hearts filled with selfish ambition and demonic suggestions had little place for the gospel. James 3:13 through 18 states, "Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation and his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descended not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace." These were the sort of people whose hearts were at peace with a world that opposes God's reign. James 4:4 states, "Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God, who boasts of their worldly accomplishments and pursuits." James 4:13 through 14 states, "Go to now, ye that say, Today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city, and continue there a year, and buy and sell, and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then vanisheth away. Who built lavish lives upon poverty-stricken backs." James 5, 1 through 6 states, "Go to now, ye rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that come upon you. Your riches are corrupted and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. Ye have heaped treasure together for the last days. Behold, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth, and the cries of them which have reaped and enter into the ears of the Lord of Sabbath. Ye have lived in pleasure on the earth and been undisciplined, yet have nourished your hearts as in a day of slaughter. Ye have condemned and killed the just, and he doth not resist you. And who had failed to address the most basic issues in helping suffering people? Patience, prayer, forgiveness, love, and service. James 5:7-20 states, be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and have long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. But of all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by the earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yes be yes, and your no, no, lest ye fall into condemnation. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man subject to lack patience as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death, and shall hide a multitude of sins. Some listeners may not have given their lives to Christ, but want to do so. John 3:16 states, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If you believe and are willing to follow Christ, then join a church that is based on the Holy Bible. Now, a breath of fresh air with Minister David Michael.
Good afternoon and welcome to A Breath of Fresh Air with the Encourager, Minister David Michael. Today's topic is Be Thankful. Our gratitude glorifies God as we exalt not the gifts, but the giver. No matter what you ask God for, you need to ask with an attitude of gratitude. You can ask God for whatever you need, but do it with a thankful heart for what he's already done. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. A lot of people want to know God's will for their lives. Here's step one, be grateful. This is God's will. First, be grateful for what God has already given you, your life, mind, freedom, food, clothes. Everything you have is a gift from God, so be grateful for all of it. The Bible says to give thanks in all circumstances. Notice, it does not say to give thanks for all circumstances. There is a big difference. There are a lot of things in life you should not be thankful for. For example, evil. It says to give thanks in every circumstance, not for, because God can bring good.